the attempted murder on a ghost, cursed paintings burning houses down, and lighthouse keepers vanishing without a trace. History is filled with the strangest stories, and I love diving into them and finding out what's really behind them. Who is the man in the iron mask? How did Rasputin survive being murdered multiple times? And what's the deal with the missing children of Hamelin? My podcast, Certainly Strange, is a collection of bizarre, true tales such as these. In each episode, I tell one of these stories and try to solve a puzzle, or at least share a theory or two. If this sounds interesting to you, come and join me on this journey through the strangest parts of our history, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello. Thanks, everyone, for joining us again. Today, we discussed the Dead Files episode called Ghost of Deadwood, and AP chose this one. So do you want to tell the people why we chose, or why you chose this episode?
Slightly, because I'm obsessed with the Old West. I love the history of the area, and I've actually been to Deadwood. I've seen this location. Didn't know that I saw this location when I happened to be there, but it's just a really fascinating part of history to me, and I know it's problematic in a lot of ways, as is a lot of history, but it's really interesting to learn about and from. And Wild Bill Hickok has been in a lot of the books and things that I've read growing up. So,
and it was a really, really interesting episode, and AP provided some amazing history into Wild Bill. So
I kind of got nerdy. It's fine.
It was great though, because I didn't know any of it, and it was really interesting. Yeah. So if you don't listen for anything else, listen for the history.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Wild Bill Hickok passed away in Deadwood, but he also knew the Earp brothers. He knew Doc Holliday. Mm-hmm. He knew Calamity Jane, Buffalo Bill Cody, likely knew Sitting Bull. I mean, a lot of these characters that we've heard about in history weren't just characters. They were real people. Yeah. We've just given them larger than life personas.
Right.
No, it was good.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Thanks for really indulging me. And we do want to mention that we talk about a lot of things that happen in the episode, but there is definitely abuse of women, death by suicide, and we do have the gunfights.
Sex work,
hanging. There's a lot of violence happened in this time frame, especially in towns like this. So anything you can think of, it's probably there. So
We didn't talk explicitly about a lot of it, but we did about some of it. So just that might be a little something. So next time, next episode, the episode, it was my turn to pick, and I picked one called The Uninvited, which is, according to Max, it's season 9, episode 6, called The Uninvited. It took place in Kentucky. This one has aliens.
Oh, your favorite.
I know.
You do love a good alien.
I know. And the client in this one, her name is Holly, and she is in the Dead Files Facebook group.
Oh, cool.
She is also friends with Spirit Mechanics.
Yay!
Do you remember way back when we interviewed Randy?
Yes.
One of our very first clients.
Yes.
After the Dead Files left his house and Spirit Mechanics came in and did some stuff, Holly also came in as a medium and did a walkthrough with him.
Oh, cool.
And so it kind of connects. I've been wanting to do hers for a while.
Yeah. I will say, speaking of aliens, I saw a TikTok. Shocking.
You made it all the way till now to talk about TikTok.
What? Next time we record, we might not be talking about TikTok.
I know. But I saw a person. This man was saying, if our hand is the size of our Milky Way galaxy, and you know, this is our hand, what is the size of, hang on, how did he say it?
You know, if your hand's the same size as your face, you're really smart.
I'm going to have to find it. But essentially, if
do you want some more champagne?
Okay.
No.
Is this Wisconsin or Michigan that you're...
It's Wisconsin.
The universe is ever expanding and our brain cannot really control or grasp the thought that it's ever expanding. Yeah. And that it's like, well, what's it expanding into? And there's nothingness. Our brains cannot understand nothingness.
It's hard to believe that the universe doesn't have an end, a wall, a ceiling. It's just...
Okay, I found it.
It's probably flat like the earth.
Yeah, it probably is.
Well, the earth is flat.
That's right. Just kidding. We don't think that.
Why isn't it showing up?
Because it doesn't want to. It doesn't exist. You're making it all up.
I don't believe in it.
Nope.
Solar system. Okay, so if our solar system, that's what it was. Okay. If our solar system is the size of our hands, mm-hmm. how big is the Milky Way galaxy?
Oh.
The size of North America. Is what he says. If our solar system is the mm-hmm. size of your hand, the Milky Way galaxy is the size of North America. So the fact, and there's how many other galaxies, billions upon billions. So to think that we're the only life form is statistically impossible.
It's not, yeah.
But that's what I was trying to say.
There's something else out there.
But also the fact, like, the odds of us encountering another life form from another galaxy are slim to none. Because our galaxy...
Slim just left town.
Slim did just leave town. And because our galaxy is so huge that even mm-hmm. to travel across our galaxy is impossible for us. So to travel to another one. So that's what I was trying to say.
So who's living in the ocean then?
I don't know.
Where are those drones?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh boy.
Megalodon.
We'll talk about this some other time, maybe.
We could dive down a rabbit hole of this.
I will sit and watch with popcorn.
Roger rabbit's hole.
All right.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy the episode.
Yes,
we had
please
a good
enjoy
time
it.
Doing it.
It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Ghosts of Deadwood. AP is here with your overview. Take it away.
Yes, and I have it on my phone, so I will have my notes out with my phone today because
she's not texting or goofing around.
No, have it on a little platform in front of me, but you can't see it, and that's the magic of us being together today.
Yeah,
same.
Yep.
So just want to make that clear. All right, I'm so excited because we are finally traveling to Deadwood, South Dakota, the town of myth, of legend, of lore. There's a lot of history in this town and so much in our location, which is the Fairmont Hotel. We meet Ron, a man who has been drawn to the location since he purchased it 20 years prior, and even when he was warned of odd things happening, which is a very interesting part of the story. We learn he has been renovating, but every time they swing a hammer, the activity picks up. Steve chats with Ron and two employees to hear their stories. We have full body apparitions, doors opening, things moving, and maybe some residual energy. Steve meets with a local author to learn about the history of the current day hotel. Surprise, it was a brothel in a booming Wild West mining and gambling town. Of course there were deaths here. Historian here tells us about two women who passed. We can't settle with just news of the brothel. Steve continues his investigation and speaks with a current police chief who shares more about historical deaths. And a local historian who tells us about the infamous death of Wild Bill Hickok by Jack McCall. All the while, Amy's investigation is filled with many, many dead. They aren't fans of all the dead around them, and many do not like the changes that are happening. Amy connects to a lot of death with pain in her head and chest, as well as deep despair and sadness. In the reveal, many connections are made between what Amy saw and what Steve uncovers. Can Ron and the team keep doing what they're doing, or must they love and let go? Join us to find out if the activity continues. All right. So this episode is one we've been waiting to do for a while. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing, you know, we've got our different sections here. But we start off here when Steve is driving up saying what's going to be happening. Yep. And it's really kind of funny. I feel like you could take a drink every time they say something about when they renovate and there's issues that
yes.
stem up.
Yeah.
Because it's at least a half dozen times that it is. And I think Steve says every time they swing a hammer.
Every time he swings a hammer.
Two or three times yeah. during the episode, which maybe is why I mentioned it before.
Maybe yeah. make a light drink so you don't die yeah, of alcohol yeah. poisoning.
Just take some sips.
Like a beer or like, yeah, you know, something. No, don't do shots. You will die.
But, you know, it is really interesting because it is, it is a town in the Old West, and it was in, I mean, in that area. I don't know if either of you have ever been to Deadwood, but it's in the Black Hills. It is, you've got interesting rock structures and everything around there. You have so much history
geology.
To what happened in the area. You know, whether it be from Native American culture to present day, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. So there's a lot of secrets within Deadwood.
I will say we're 2 minutes in and Steve says, he says, time and running out, and Amy and I are his last chance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 2 minutes in and we're already at last chance. Yep. So
yeah. No pressure though.
No pressure.
No pressure, Amy and Steve. No. Everything's going to be fine.
If it's the last chance and our marriage is ending.
Yeah. It's really interesting when we see Amy open up at the location. She talks about these five dead men who are her escorts through the town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have either of you ever heard of or watched the movie Purgatory?
No.
So it's a great movie. It's actually one of the best Westerns, I think. That it came out in 99. It was like a made-for-TV type movie. We used to have a VHS of it, and my sister and I watched it all the time. But it is set with, this is why it made me think of this, is because purgatory is when somebody has been killed but maybe hasn't been good enough to go to heaven right away.
Mm-hmm.
They're sent to this purgatory. And in this case, it's in the Old West. And so they're sent to this town to relive their life a little bit. And they have so much time that they have to do. So whatever their vices were in life, they have to correct.
Okay.
In purgatory.
Well, that sounds good.
But if you don't correct it, you can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people have been there for years. You've got all these gunslingers and people who have been there. And that's why, and I repeat this later on, but it made me think of this because it's like they were walking her through town of like, here's how this was going on. Yeah. This is what was happening. Here's, we don't like, you know, they mentioned not liking. She states that they don't like some of the other dead that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the dead do not like the renovations that are happening because they all saw that location as a different thing, as a different part of their life.
Yeah. It's like nobody likes change. And, you know.
Yep.
And isn't this, I might be thinking of the one we did before, but I swear, isn't this the one where she opened up like in the room? She's sitting there on the chair with her hands up and she's got her eyes closed and she's like, instead of doing that in the car and then walking into the property, I think it looked like she was in the property doing that.
I thought that was another one.
Maybe that was another one.
Might have been a different one.
I don't
one.
Think it was. Okay. I don't remember.
I'm not connecting
one.
To that.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Okay. My bad.
But it is very interesting. And she just kind of talks about how they all have crimes. They all have things, which is so common for like. I have always been very drawn to the Old West, to the Wild West time frame. I am very positive that I had to have had a life in that time frame. So Deadwood is, we hear a little bit about the history later on, but the town itself, they never say when it was actually confirmed as a town. 1876.
Okay.
Is when Deadwood officially became more than just a mining town of... Mm-hmm. We see some pictures of what it looked like with the tents up and that sort of stuff.
Sure.
That's very early on.
Yeah.
And then we start to see more of that come about. And of course, we hear about Ron, who has fallen in love with this place the moment that he walked up to it.
I felt like he was like getting us prepared for him being a reincarnated version of somebody who was there before. Because it reminded me of the Butte, Montana.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a brothel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that poor guy, Michael, I think his name was, who was the reincarnation of the previous owner.
Yep.
Ugh, such a sad one.
Yeah. And he does say, it's kind of like I was here before and I want to restore it to its past. And I laughed and like, were all those lotto machines or slot machines there in the past with all the bright, colorful lights and everything? Right. I don't know if that was just dramatization on his part or like just trying to be like, I've always been, you know, kind of that way. That's how I took it, but I loved your notes on that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a very notorious Wild West town. It is one of the most notorious because it is still in existence and it's not a ghost town where a lot of others became ghost towns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of death and there is a lot of settling things in their own ways and not relying on lawmen to settle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they didn't have lawmen.
They did.
When they first settled?
Once the town became what it is today, they had lawmen. So when it first was opening as people coming in mining for gold, likely, you know, you hear of Black Hills Gold, they were, you know, you would have had a lot of people coming in trying to look for a quick buck and all that sort of stuff. And then eventually as the town grew, you would get lawmen. But a lot of times the lawmen weren't necessarily the best people until you had people like, we'll hear about Wild Bill Hickok later on. He became a U.S. Marshal and he had so many things by the time he was only 39 when he died. And just all the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
I was surprised that he was only that. That's when he died.
But that's so many of them because of the life that they live.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that adds into that old factor of not living a long life or
the
that life
average
expectancy.
Age. Yep. Yeah.
Amy, did you have anything that you wanted to say about our client here?
Oh, yeah. When Steve asked him, do you believe in this stuff? After he already told him all the stuff that he sees. So do you believe in this stuff? And he says, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Which I thought was hilarious because you either believe in it or you don't believe in it.
So do you get to pick and choose
things that you believe in?
Yes.
The ones that you want to believe in and not?
Apparently. And some people even like to choose not to believe in things that are actually things.
Yeah.
Like you can say, I'm not into this, but I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't mean what you think it means.
It doesn't mean what you think it. It
you,
makes.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
It's a thing. You don't get to believe or not believe in something that actually exists.
Somebody who wants to revoke having vaccines for things like polio.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't believe in vaccines.
Well, guess what? Vaccines are a thing.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't believe with it.
I
don't think we should have them.
I'm not going to get it. But to say you don't believe in it. Like,
no, they're real.
It's a factual thing.
I've gotten vaccines. I got my flu vaccine this year.
I also, you know, all of us when we were kids got polio vaccines and none of us have it.
Yep.
And MMR.
Yep.
Didn't get that.
Yep.
Is polio the one that leaves a thing on your arm?
No, that is...
Because that one I didn't get.
No, that's...
You would have gotten it as a child.
I don't have a thing on my arm.
It's not that.
It's not polio.
Whatever it is.
Because polio is what FDR had.
Right. But I mean,
it's an
whatever
Outlander.
Vaccine that is that gives you the little thing on your arm, I didn't get.
And that's how she knew that the other person was from the future, because she had that thing on her arm from Outlander.
Somebody knows. Somebody out there knows.
Screaming at us. Yep. Usually it's AP, but she's right here.
Well, I remember having to get actually tested for TB when I went to go work in Kansas.
I had to do that too.
You get like a little injection or a little spot, and then they circle it and it's see if it grows beyond that.
I had to do that.
I have a friend who has TB.
Who has it right now?
Has it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's dormant, but she tests positive for it.
Yeah, I had to do that. And it
smallpox.
Smallpox? Is that the one?
Smallpox
that
and the bacille, the vaccine, both leave a scar, the TB scar. So I think it is the tuberculosis, which may turn into a sore. The sore then scabs over and heals, leaving a small flat scar.
Yeah, I do not have that. I might have had the shot, but I don't have a scar.
Nope. And WHO declared smallpox eliminated in 1980.
World
Don't worry, it'll come back with all the non-vaccine senators.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can say you don't believe
vaccine
in.
Vaccine senators.
Yep.
Yeah, so apparently...
The point is, even if you can say you don't believe in stuff like the tooth fairy, but you can't say you don't believe in factual things like vaccines and science.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know it's probably semantics.
Yes.
When someone says, I don't believe in politics, they don't mean I don't think politics exists. They mean I don't like politics.
I don't subscribe to politics.
But they do it a lot, and I think it's funny, and so I'm going to make fun of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't believe in tables. I eat on the floor.
That explains a lot.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
A little messy, so, but...
Our client, though, in this one, he's a character.
Yeah, he is.
And not in a bad way.
No.
He's entertaining.
Yeah.
Eccentric.
Yes.
And we learn that he has had this property for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that he was warned by the previous owners that there was some nefarious things happening.
Amy, you had a wonderful note after that.
Oh, he said, yeah, when I talked to the previous owners, they told me if I knew what they knew and saw what they'd seen, I would never buy the place. And I said, not exactly salespeople. Owners.
Obviously, they knew who they were talking to because they were the best salespeople because he's like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. He's like, I don't believe in that stuff.
Like when I asked our realtor in our old house if the house was haunted and she said no. And I was like, it totally is haunted. But I was like, that's too bad. I was hoping for it to be haunted. And then next time I talked to her, she's like, I talked to the previous owners.
Okay.
It's totally haunted.
Great.
So then I thought she was lying.
She wasn't.
I thought she wasn't. She was lying the first time.
Yeah. She was not. It was very haunted.
It was pretty haunted.
I never had experiences at your house, but which is probably good.
Yeah.
I'm not the person I am now.
Yeah.
That I was then.
Yeah.
I would have shit my pants.
Yeah.
I still probably would shit my pants, but, you know, I didn't, never mind.
Now you're just saying, like, you'd enjoy it.
I know, I'm like, that's going to sound not right.
You're right. You didn't.
Who loves to shit their pants?
Me.
Moving on. Away from this.
So our character, Ron, who, by the way, also knows that this place was a brothel, but when we get to the reveal and he's told it's a brothel, he's like, what? His face just, it's like, and maybe that was, obviously we know that they cut things from different things, but he just looked really confused and like, it was a brothel? What?
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
And then he says there was illegal gambling here, but there were literally poker houses. Like, these places had poker all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's funny because now we hear about how, you know, every time we start doing work, things happen.
Swing
and I
hammer.
Think both Megan and I were like, oh, you don't say, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, really? It's crazy how when you do renovations, the ghosts come out.
And then Amy Allen's like, they don't really like the decor here.
Yeah.
Everyone's a critic.
And who died and made them the decorator? Oh, yeah, they did. They died and made themselves the decorator.
That's right.
Well, and I did appreciate kind of how she's like, they seem really confused. They want it to be kept the way that they knew it as.
Which makes sense.
And to me, like, okay, we know change is hard, but even after death, change is hard is what we're hearing. So I thought the two of the three things are covered here with things in life that you can always depend on.
Mm-hmm.
Change, death, and taxes.
Yeah.
Taxes.
It makes sense because, like, if you think about it, if you go into, like, your childhood house that has changed since you were in it, you automatically, most of us will be like, well, I hate that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like this when I lived here.
Yep.
And so it's very relatable to feel that way, especially if a big part of their lives or if they died here or if there's some significance to this location, it would make sense that they would not like the changes because I get it.
Yeah, I do too.
And then we go back to our dear friend Ron, who decides to bring us up to the next floor where it's all, it's really creepy up here.
Yeah.
Because every time we start doing work, they don't like it.
No. Mm-hmm.
Something's going on.
Every time he swings a hammer.
But it was really interesting. He said he lived there at one point in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a few years. Was it a few years or a few months?
I thought it was
a few years.
It was years.
And Megan, I loved your note in there where he lays down on a bed that's in the room, which doesn't look like it's a hotel room. It does look like it's somebody's room.
Yeah,
and he lays down.
It's kind of messy and the bedspread's all...
Well, and the bedspread, and he like lays down. Megan's comment was like, why is he laying like that across the bed? I'm like, maybe that's the way that he had his bed the first time around.
Because he's like a ghost. Well, the bed was this facing this way before.
It was long, and he's short, and his legs are hanging off of it. And I'm like, who fucking is like, I'm gonna go to bed. Let me just hang my feet off the short way.
I mean, maybe it was the same as laying down on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, that was in our previous sideshow.
Too soon
that story.
Too soon, guys.
It happened in high school, but it's too soon.
Yep. But this is where I thought there was residual energy that was coming in, because though we never hear it be talked about until Amy Allen's actually telling them what they need to do, we don't hear anything about residual energy, but he talks about seeing an old woman in the same spot all
over the time. To over again.
To me, I'm like, how do we not connect this to this being, yeah, she's always in the same spot. She's not it's not a cognizant
right. haunting.
Mm-hmm. Haunting at that point. It's like the, you know,
like a
replay
loop.
Button.
Yeah.
And he said, and Megan, you mentioned that he'll knock and be like, coming in.
I thought that was adorable because he was talking about how every time he enters a space that he's seen a ghost or something, or that he hasn't been in a while, he'll say, coming in, and he feels more comfortable. And I'm like, that's actually really cute. Like,
that's
he's giving, it is, it's yep. the ghost a heads up,
yeah.
the ghost that he doesn't believe in.
Right.
But he's like, just letting him know, you know, Greg, letting him know that he's entering. So get their haunting ready because they'll have somebody there.
That's right.
They'll have an audience.
You can just start your show.
I'm
coming in.
He's like contradicting himself because he's like, I don't believe in it, but then I acknowledge their presence.
He totally believes both sides of his mouth.
Yes,
he totally believes in it. He's just not ready to accept
it. He's trying
to
be like a man's man and like, I don't believe in this stuff. I'm Greg. Just kidding. That's not Greg at all. If you knew Greg, it's
we just like to make fun of him.
We love to make fun of Greg and we do it out of love.
And he doesn't listen, so he doesn't know
because he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in podcasts.
He doesn't believe in our podcast.
No, it's fine.
Anyways. Moving on to other descriptions of the spirits that both Ron and Amy talk about.
Yes.
And I think kind of the others that we hear from also, they describe cowboys basically in these long jackets. I'm like, dude, you know, that's a duster. Mm-hmm. Like that's what those jackets were.
I heard one of them say that. Maybe it was Amy. When she saw the person, she said he was wearing a duster.
It might have been. Yeah.
Because the guy was he's just like, he's wearing a long jacket, like a long rider coat. Well, that's called a duster. They wore those on cattle drives very often and others because they repel rain and all that fun
spirits.
Stuff.
Spirits.
And, you know.
That you don't believe in, but you wear it.
You just roll right off.
Like a duck's back.
That's right.
Yep. And again, Amy talks throughout the whole series, she talks about feeling pain in her head or pain in her body. And, you know, there's that connection to a lot of things were settled with fights, whether it was a gunfight or a fist fight of some sort.
A fight of the words.
No, they didn't usually those.
They didn't have a rhetoric fight.
No. No. And we also kind of noted, like, when you look at a lot of this, are people actually paying to stay here? Because it is a mess.
It kind of is. It's very run down. Every room they go in is either paint off the walls, wallpaper peeling.
Or there's no wall.
There's
just
no wall.
Fly-fours.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one that I did a screenshot. I think I put it in here, but it was like a hallway. And granted, it's a spot that they don't have people going into. Mm-hmm. And there's like a doorway that looks like the door has been busted in and the what do you call that? The plate that's in the door. It is like trashed and the wood around it is all broken up. Yep. Like somebody banged that door in.
Yeah. And so,
or like tried to yank it open when it was locked or something.
Yeah.
So for 23 years, he's had this property and, you know, they only get going for a little bit at a time and then the contractors get scared and he has investors and the investors have stayed there. So I don't know how many rooms are actually usable as a hotel.
Yeah, I don't think there's many. I think he was concentrating on the saloon or
big it was, or how did they say how big it is?
Not square footage but I've seen pictures. It's pretty big.
I was gonna say, we know it's at least three stories because
maybe they only have like one story or like one floor is usable or two, because the way that they talked about the third floor is that nobody goes up there. So my guess would be they don't have any patrons up there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they have some people that live there, which we also learn about. You know, Ron lived there. Then Kathleen, the bartender, who we get to hear from. She
still lives there, doesn't she?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think she only stayed there for a couple of months, but they must have rooms there because also being in the upper Midwest, you can get bad snowstorms and that sort of thing. So I'm wondering if they have some places for people to stay,
sleep over
potentially.
That's just me guessing
on that.
Yeah,
very nice.
When I was working at the Minneapolis club, they would, because it had 10 hotel rooms and we didn't all get to stay there if we couldn't get home, but our GM would stay in one of the hotel rooms.
One of the people in the autopsy that I watched passed from being outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My grandfather passed.
We're working. Ramsey County works on, and I'm sure other counties in Minnesota, but they work on warming shelters in the winter for people to go and stay in who can get out of the cold. And I try to put a cat carrier outside in the wintertime so that animals can go in it if, you know, strays or whatever. So at least they can get some respite. Because it gets fucking cold in Minnesota.
Very, very cold. I'm thinking Minnesota. I'm going to put something outside for Roger, our bunny. Because he Roger or Rabbit. Somebody. I love it. I didn't even get that when I came up with it. But somebody has been moving the mesh, the wire mesh that keeps Vivian in the in the yard.
You mean some bunny?
Some bunny. Some bunny has been moving that, and Greg shorted all back up again, so she can't get out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, great, now Roger can't get back in, and he sleeps in here.
Yeah.
Where it's safer for him from other animals. Yeah. So now I feel like I got to put something out there just outside the fence for him to sleep in. But then doesn't that also make him like a sitting duck?
Kind of. Well,
because then like but there's a fox also, could come through or whoever would eat a bunny.
But there's also places for him to hide in your yard. It's not like your yard is super open. Like there's he could go under your thing up there. Or I mean, I think there's places for him to hide.
He could get in the backyard.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Which is what he's been doing for a year.
But that's back. I'm sorry. I totally derailed us, which is odd. I know. But I think it's very.
Never happens.
It's rare. I do think it is very sweet that they do that because it's cold here. It's fucking cold. Yep. Fucking Midwest.
It's okay today. But
it's actually, it was
before
like.
Yesterday was.
It was 30 degrees out or like close to 30 degrees. And I was walking in my car in my coat. And I'm like, God, I don't even need my coat right now.
35, 36.
I'm like, it's this is. Nice I don't need a coat.
Yeah. But 2 days ago? I was outside for 5 seconds and my forehead was frozen.
It was Thursday that was that bad.
I looked. We were colder than the North Pole and Siberia, Russia.
Yep.
So, great place to live. Anyways.
All right. So, back to Kathleen.
Back to Kathleen, the bartender who lived there.
Which, Amy, you called out something that is very, happens a lot in this episode. Steve.
Amy's like, I did.
Oh.
Kathleen is like, a lot of people don't come up here. So people don't come up here?
Yeah.
Like throughout this entire episode, Steve
just basically repeats what they said.
Yes.
And so I called him the master reiterator.
Yeah.
Which, you know, can be a great way to hold a conversation and engage people. However, at the same point, it was a lot. he was just repeating everything. And God, there's an episode of something and I can't remember which TV show or whatever it was, but it's like, if you aren't sure how to have a conversation with somebody, just keep repeating what they say and then they'll just do all the talking.
Yes. Whatever that was, I saw it too.
Yeah.
When I lived in the Middle East, I was teaching kids and this was like 12, 14 years ago and I didn't know how to talk to little kids. And somebody was like, just repeat what they say back to you as a question. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so they'll be like, oh, I went to my grandma's. Oh, you went to your grandma's? And they just keep going.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't know how to talk to small kids, that's a way to do it. It's just and
or like, bartenders.
Or people.
Or people.
Just in general.
In general. I will say repeating what, and I'm siding with Steve a little bit on this, but that is a way to show someone you're listening.
Yes.
I'm sure that's what he was doing. But like, can you do it? Can you just maybe?
It was just cut a lot.
It was.
It is a great way to have that conversation and that sort of stuff. It was, you know, maybe somebody in production was just like,
We'll
just add this one in.
But yeah, he did it a lot. Yep. And the way he did it too was like, he didn't understand it. And he was like, so what you're saying is people didn't want to come up here. It's like, yes, Steve. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know. I've heard of this guy's name, but I don't know who he is.
Wild Bill Hickok. So this guy's famous. I mean,
something. I mean, I've never heard of him.
But I don't know anything about him.
I don't really know anything about him. Like, there's just a few things that it's like, I do believe that he didn't know much about
I didn't know much about him. I'm not, no shade on Steve for not knowing a lot about Wild Bill Hickok, but it just made it sound funny. Like,
yes.
I think, and like I had said to these guys before, I think what he was doing was, okay,
like
this guy's a pretty famous guy. Maybe some of our viewers don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I think that's what he was getting at.
See, I'm more on the side of, I don't know that he knew much about him and was like, can you just fill us in a little bit here?
And by us, I mean me, because I don't know.
Yep.
I keep wanting to say Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And I know that's completely different, but it just Hitchcock.
He's also not Buffalo Bill Cody.
Yes.
They did know each other, however.
Oh.
Yep.
He's also not Alfred.
Yep. Cody, Wyoming is named after
Hitchcock.
Buffalo Bill.
Oh.
It all.
When did Alfred come in here? I got
it. Birds.
Got it.
But yeah, so Kathleen.
I kind of liked her.
She was really interesting. She probably gave the best facial expressions and things.
Oh, yes.
Through in both like there and in the reveal.
She could not play poker. Everything that she thought was on her face.
Yes. And she talked about seeing another woman. So one of you commented about how we've got the woman in white and we've got a woman in blue.
I said
so
that.
We
yep.
see, it, which makes sense that we're seeing a lot of women spirits as well because of the history of the area.
It was a brothel. I mean, the and they even said, well, I think they said the ratio of men to women was
50 to 1,
but was it 50 men to one women or 50? Yes. Okay.
When it first started as a mining town, because it would have been all yes. men coming in
yes.
slowly yep. and surely, especially as rail lines and other things came about, then you would start to see the women coming mm-hmm. in. And, it, you know, brothels at the time were one of the few, quote, jobs that women would have that they could actually earn money. And in some cases, not necessarily in Deadwood, but in other parts of the West, that's where you started seeing some women who became madams or others mm-hmm. that they really controlled their own destiny and fate in a lot. However, brothel aspects were also, it was dangerous for women because yes. it wasn't just that you would end up with, as we hear about some of these men abused women, but it was also they would fall in love with these women. Mm-hmm. And
it would not be reciprocated.
Either that or they, you know, the women knew how to act and how to
yes,
show that.
It's so their job.
So they showed that to everybody. But yes. then you see, you know, Joe gets jealous of Dale. And then, you know, so Joe takes it out on Susie mm-hmm. or goes and kills Dale, fault. Which mm-hmm. is then we see this violence and all this yes. violence that ends up kind of being recorded in the town history, whether yes. it's mm-hmm. spiritually or residually or, you know, just mm-hmm. actually captured that way. So
yeah.
we do hear Amy talking a lot about, you know, some women that are constantly talking. There's a woman who's kept in a room that, like, she's like, she slept with people and they keep her in a room and she's screaming and yelling. And, you know, to me, I'm like, well, she must have been killed there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something happened to her that trapped her in this spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it sounded like male spirits weren't letting her out of this room.
Right. And she did. I mean, Amy did talk about like a sex dungeon or a sex yes. slaves.
That there was in the basement, that there was yes. a place where women were kept and they didn't have clothes or any, you know, like they were naked and right. they were beat and they weren't yep. fed. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, potentially not necessarily the madam, but potentially, you know, men who had money that could do what they wanted sort of thing.
Yep.
Okay, you can pay your $10
and do whatever you want.
Do whatever yeah. you want.
For 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever because
we'll just get another one.
Yep.
Not much has changed.
Set.
In 250 years, we're still kind of in that area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was, I yep. thought that was
and
great.
We'll probably come back to that in a little bit yes. when we hear some of the stuff that Steve found in yeah. his yeah. investigation.
I did yeah. jump ahead
but
a bit.
One thing I do want to make note of when we're talking with Kathleen, and I dropped this picture into the chat, but there is a giant jar of pickled eggs sitting on the countertop, and they just look disgusting.
The substance is quite yellow mm-hmm. in that picture. I don't know if that's what it looks like
there's,
in real life.
There's a light behind it. You can see on the wall there.
Yes.
That is shining yellow through there.
Yeah. So it would, but pickled eggs do tend to have more of a yellow hue to it than that green hue.
It depends. I mean, I make pickled eggs at home and they just look like
eggs
sitting in a
jars though.
But at a bar, who knows how long it's been sitting there.
And oh, that sounds disgusting.
The longer they sit in that vinegar mixture, they get like rubber.
Gross.
So it's like you can't even barely bite through them.
I will say
we used to do this as a science experiment. You could take an egg and put it in vinegar for X amount of time and the shell gets like dissolves.
Yeah.
And this is not a cooked egg. This is
I've seen that on the TikTok.
Yeah. Oh. And then it becomes rubbery on the outside.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've just done hard boiled eggs.
Yeah. And these are hard boiled eggs, to be clear, for those that are probably like, what the hell are they talking about?
I will say it's interesting That Steve's sitting and Kathleen was standing.
There was one point at the end of it, if you go back and you watch where they're having that conversation, they cut to him and he's almost like got his hands, he's got his hands underneath and it almost looks like he's got his hands under his chin and he's just looking up at her. And it's like, oh, find someone who looks at you like that.
Yeah.
Like,
but that was... Especially given what we know of Steve and his propensity for wanting to look like he's taller or more in control. I just thought it was interesting that he's sitting and she was standing. I think
it's because she's the bartender. And so he's a patron.
Yeah,
at her
she's
bar.
Serving him.
And she's showing how that token jumped out and whatever. I can see that.
Okay, I didn't even think of that. Gross.
Yep. And then we hear Amy talk about the old woman again. So we heard a little bit about the old woman that we also said probably residual energy, but sounds like there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I'm hearing that she's 65, but she looks older. You guys know that the Golden Girls were meant to be in their 40s and 50s.
I know.
In that show.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. And then you look at it and you're like, how?
Yeah.
And then you think about when Betty White passed away and when that show was filming, how old they actually were during that time.
Mm-hmm. They were probably,
And I'm 39. I'm not that far off from where
they looked like they were grandparents and like they all had grandchildren in their 50s.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just a very
different time.
Especially this comes up again later on when we hear about Jack McCall. And you know, if that picture is truly him, because we have no idea to know.
I don't think it's him. Not if there he was really 25.
Not if he was 25. That person looks 50 if they're a
date. Have you seen some of the pictures of like when our parents were in high school and you see someone who is 18 and they look 36?
Well, there were, you know, I mean, there always are some kids who don't exactly get through high school in the amount of time they're supposed to. And they have like full beards.
I had an eighth grader who had a full beard.
Yeah.
John, my husband, when he was like that and he looked so much older than he was. And he would go at like 18, 17, 18 and buy beer and would not get carded. Because his voice, he has a very deep voice and facial hair. And I mean, he looked 25 when he was 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. So before we end this first kind of segment, Amy Allen has a voiceover. And she says, there's so many dead people here. It's making my walk very disorienting. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to talk to me. But there's one guy demanding my attention. And, you know, just again, a little history of the area. It's not surprising that there's so many dead. As we talked about, there was a lot of violence. It is an old West town. It was a mining town, which you have people fighting over claims. If someone found a large amount of gold, of course you're going out and celebrating, but that put a target on your back immediately. And many towns like this not only had cemeteries, and we hear about the cemeteries filling up, but they also had Boot Hill. Mm-hmm. And Boot Hill was typically left for men who were part of gunfights or other things that they didn't know who they were, and they were just kind of buried with a cross saying, here lies this guy.
Yeah.
And that was about it. But you know, anywhere you have money, booze, women, horses, cattle, and land, literally everything was worth, quote, fighting for. Mm-hmm. Anything that could be fought over was here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anything else that you guys, ladies, thought of during this time frame?
When Amy says, there's a man, he likes to work here. He feels very attached to the place. So he gets mad because they're not doing it right. He wants to help, but they're not listening. Oh, that's like me at every job I've ever had.
Yeah. Just let me do it myself.
Yeah. I'll just do it myself.
All right. So now we get a little bit, and we've talked a little bit about stuff that's been going on with the investigation, but we kind of get into the investigation. I know, Amy.
Dig into the archives.
Amy, you made a note about our first person that we talked to, who is a local author, Jerry Bryant.
Yep. I looked him up, and he has written a book, but he's mainly a historian, and he did pass away on January 24th, 2015, so about a year after this came out, and since this our episode here is coming out right around that same time, I just thought we should say a little R.I.P. to Buddy
Honor
Jerry.
Him.
He seemed like a cool guy. I read more about his history and who he was.
Nice.
He seemed really cool.
Yeah. And you can see he's on oxygen during that. So I was typing on something, then I look up and I was like, oh, he's got the he's got the little oxygen
tube in his nose. Yeah.
Yep. So he is brought in to tell us about some of the women of history here. So he is telling us about the history of this place as a brothel, mm-hmm. starting off it first off that it's a mining town that became, and again, it became truly the town of Deadwood in 1876 is when the verification of that happened, whatever that is. And he said that it was, you know, you had the dance halls, you had brothels, but it was 50-1 for women. So some women could be lucky and find their ways out of it, but most of them, this was not an easy place or an easy time.
Yeah.
And then Steve asked a stupid question. So how are these girls treated? And I was like, stupid question, Steve. Like, how do you think they're treated? Women throughout history have not been the most respected in the highest of stations if they were a lady or a duchess. How do you think somebody who's a sex worker in the Old West is going to be treated?
Yep, right.
Not great, Steve. Not great.
And he said, you know, our historian or author, he talks about, you know, there was somebody, a male, who beat the living daylights out of women, out of one of the girls. And he called her one of his girls is what Jerry called her. And again, that goes back to that there's potential that if he wasn't the biggest fish in the pond, that he also may have gotten the snot kicked out of him at some point or killed because of the way he treated the women, because somebody else was in love with them.
And so viewed many her things. As his girl too.
Exactly. But that man was charged $5 back in the day.
Fined.
Which is worth $173.44 today's money.
Which isn't that's a lot nothing. For beating a woman almost to death. In, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
The comparison to this is in the last 20 years would be the oil field booms. And a lot of those places where you have a high concentration of men living in similar areas. And in some of those cases, they're not far from reservations. And so, especially with the high levels of missing and murdered Indigenous women, that is a good area for some of that kind of connection. Not saying all of it.
Right.
But there are stories that come out of those oil fields.
Yep. And Steve says, so guys could act however the hell they wanted. And I said, so nothing has really changed.
Correct.
In 200 plus years. Yep. You know, they think it's fine. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yep. And you know, this is where Amy does connect back with the basement, and we talked about that already. But
always a basement.
Mm-hmm. We do have another one that Jerry comes and talks about, this Vinegar Rowan,
which is like, what a name for that. His brother was baking soda, and her sister was olive oil.
Which olive oil fell in love with Papa?
Yeah.
Yep.
It all circles back. Yeah, that has to be a nickname. That has to be a nickname.
Yeah, because I Googled it and I couldn't find anything about this person. So, hi friends, excuse my voice. I got Greg's cold. Anyway, I did a little digging on Vinegar Rowan, and he was actually a man named Prentice Bernard. He was a sheep herder, as they said, and according to this article I found, which is linked in the show notes, he was also a cow puncher, which is a cowboy or a cowgirl who tends to cattle and performs other duties on horseback. You can read more in the article that I've linked in the show notes or in a book called The Open Secret. It's on Amazon, and I also put a link in the show notes to that.
Yeah, and this person,
a sheep herder
from Montana, which Deadwood is very close to Montana. Had a girlfriend who was a sex worker at the Fairmont, or what became the Fairmont.
I wonder if she knew she was his girlfriend.
That's very fair.
Really,
that is extremely fair.
Or, you know,
and this was.
I hope she did. I hope it was a consensual relationship. But
even in that aspect, that was very common for sex workers to have the men who would visit them all the time.
Yes.
And
they're regulars.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And some of them, and we see this shown in movies and things and kind of romanticized, but where it's like, oh, you got to go and see the same person. I think we see it in Bridgerton, it happens. We see it in like Carnival Row. There's some stuff with that. Like everything that is set in kind of that Victorian time.
I never got into that show. I tried so hard.
I tried Carnival Row. I didn't.
It was only two seasons.
I only watched like two episodes. I love you so much. Yeah, I could not get into it.
I couldn't either.
It was It was good, but they, because they knew it wasn't coming back, they wrapped it really quick, and so it got really weird.
I hate that. I hate that. Yeah.
So this Vinegar Rowan, he was in love with her. Whether she was in love with him or not, we don't know. But he showed up one day and was super jealous and tried to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And killed himself instead.
Which is so funny.
That is the way that Jerry describes it was pretty funny. And then Steve just busts out laughing.
Yeah. How did he do it, Amy? How did he accidentally kill himself?
He was literally blind with rage when he went after her and then starts fumbling around. And it's like he was so filled with rage at what he was witnessing.
Perceived as a slight.
Exactly. That it's like he couldn't function. His brain just went into animal mode.
Yeah.
And he tried punching and then tried to grab his gun and shoot her, but he was like reaching over himself, but somehow shot himself in the head. Like, maybe that didn't actually happen the way that it did in history, and that's just the way that it ended up being written.
Yeah. Good story.
It is.
And so, it made Steve laugh, which made
funny,
me laugh.
Yeah. Whoopsie daisy.
Whoopsie.
Whoops. I hate it when I shoot myself instead of my girlfriend that may or may not know she's my girlfriend, and then I die. Yeah, I thought it was funny that Steve left.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we hear about another death there, prominent death of a woman.
Maggie Bradwater.
Yeah. Amy, if you want to share on that one.
I did look into her a little bit, and it you know, I did see the article. This is what Jerry had said, that her boyfriend, she was seeing somebody who had parted in not a nice way. Don't know the details. And she tried to drink herself to death, but didn't really succeed in doing that. But when she was really drunk one time, she jumped out of the third floor window.
Yep.
And did not die immediately because the ground was so soft and muddy that she slipped into the ground. And then they drug her out of the ground, brought her to the hospital, and she died 36 hours later, I think he said.
Yeah, a few days later from internal injuries.
And Steve says, really all over some guy? And I'm like, I agree, Steve.
Yeah.
No person, opposite sex, same sex, whatever you're into, is worth your life.
No.
They're never worth it.
Yeah. More than likely in this case, it was her thinking she had a way out of the life that she was in.
Yeah, which I get.
And thought that that was the way that it was going to go.
Yeah.
And Amy, you made note that her family was notified, but nobody came to claim her, and she was buried in an unmarked grave, which is also, again, not uncommon because you had to travel by horseback or by carriage or potentially by train, but trains only went so far.
And they're expensive.
And her family probably was not rich, or she probably wouldn't have been in this station in her life, you know? So, it's not necessarily that they were like, oh, Maggie, fuck her.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't necessarily that.
And it could have been.
It could have been, but that not necessarily.
Means and mode were not available.
Right.
But really, PSA to everybody listening, nobody's worth your life.
Nope. Right.
Nobody's worth it. If you got broken up with, the pain will end. You'll recover. Don't do anything.
It doesn't feel like it will, but it does.
It doesn't feel like it. And we've all been there, and we've all been sobbing on the floor in our bedroom because the love of our life, or that was not because I was broken up with. It was because I was dissecting a grasshopper.
You have to go to the sideshow episode. You have to go to the sideshow to
get that. But they're never worth it. It gets better. So please, that's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
That's right.
Correct.
That's right.
You're worth more than that. More than anything. So that was just my PSA. I'm sorry, but I had to.
No, that's okay.
It's a good one.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
And we know that there was probably a lot more deaths here. These were just a couple of the ones that are highlighted, especially for the women here. And now we move on in our investigation to another gentleman, and this is the chief of the area at the time. His name is Kelly Fuller.
Yep.
And he's just telling us that, there was a lot of stuff that happened around here. Good call. Good call, sir.
That's how he became chief.
More, people died here. You know, not like our vampire town where it was.
Everybody lived together. Yeah. They live. Did anybody else die here? Nope. They're all
Steve.
Here,
we're never going to let you get. We're never going to let you get over that.
That was sometimes
there
are.
We get what you were asking, Steve. Like we get it, but it was just a really funny question, a way of asking it, Steve. So we have to do.
I don't know why we're talking to Steve. There's no way in hell he listens to this.
We're libtards.
I do find it interesting. He said something about Kelly Fuller, the chief Fuller, was talking about, like, yeah, it was full of brothels and card rooms and saloons and violence and shootings in the street. And so Steve goes, so a cop's nightmare. Like, well, technically, they would have been sheriffs and deputies during the time.
Yeah.
The term cop was not available at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of a really good title. Brothels, gambling, and saloons. Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we have to use that at least once a season.
Uh-huh.
So potentially for this one,
do you want to use up your oh my?
I know,
so early
but
in the
what
season.
If there's not a better one? I don't know.
I think we can find one about every episode.
Fact.
We could just call every episode in this season three things. Oh,
oh my God! It's my dream. The best season ever. Don't you tease me with a good time.
Okay. Yep. Both of these deaths that we hear about in this one are just, I mean.
They're kind of funny.
They're very typical of the Wild West mentality, what we hear about, what's been romanticized in movies and novels and things. You know, we don't know histories of things, but all of a sudden we have, Banjo Dick Brown. Yeah.
And Amy said, I wonder what instrument he played. Yeah. And I wrote accordion.
Exactly. I mean, like, all of a sudden he's playing on stage and someone gets pissed off and kills him.
Throws an axe on stage. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that escalated quickly.
So what happened?
Like, I don't like this song. I'm going to throw an axe at you.
What happened prior to that? Or what's the history there? Because
he just played the guy's least favorite song.
He was like, not this one again. Red River Valley.
Damn it, Banjo Dick.
No one wanted this.
I told you 5 days ago not to play Red River Valley again. And I said if you did, I was going to throw an axe at you.
I hit shuffle. I didn't want the same song twice in a row.
God, I hate that song.
But it's like, there's so much. So,
although Banjo Dick wasn't the one that was murdered.
No, Banjo Dick pulls out a gun and kills him.
Axe wielder.
He's like, oh, you want to play? Don't bring an axe to a gunfight. And then he shot him.
Yep.
But yeah, so, I'm like, that escalated so quickly.
So obviously there was something that triggered this prior to that. We have hope. Just no idea what.
That guy was probably boozing. The guy who threw the axe was
more than like, Banjo Dick Brown. Yeah. And then the latest.
All I'm hearing is Banjo Dick. I had a Banjo Dick.
He pulls his pants down and it's like.
He didn't actually play a banjo.
Yeah.
He played his Banjo Dick.
Oh my God.
Send help.
For who, we don't know.
Me, get me out of here.
Banjo Dick.
Anyhoodly doodly.
Does that mean it's really long? Because isn't the neck of a banjo long?
It's pretty long, yeah. And that's kind of bulbous round, on the end.
Or was it round and circular like the actual body of the banjo?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just go watch Deliverance.
Let us know. That movie would probably scare me.
Yes, it would.
I don't want to watch it.
It's not a pleasant.
No.
Scary. Sorry.
Chief Fuller also tells us we're just going
to. Amy's like, can we please get back on track?
I don't care.
Away from Banjo Dick.
I'll talk about Banjo Dick all night.
I'll talk about Banjo Dick till the cows come home.
That's right.
It's going to be Megan's new boyfriend.
That'll be his ringtone when he calls.
Why do you have dueling banjos going on?
It's Banjo Dick calling to give me a little nothing. I'm done.
The next murder that we hear, which really isn't a, I don't know. This is more just like a, it's not really, a, it's not, I mean, he dies, but it's not really a murder. It's a idiot trying to face off against his boss, basically. Because there's a deputy. that was a prize boxer.
Just been fired.
Yeah. And so, and he was a prize boxer and basically was like, I'm untouchable. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was one of the Paul brothers. And,
what brothers?
Like Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm untouchable. You can't do anything to me. And then,
as Tupac says, untouchable like Elliot Ness.
And then his boss, former boss, was like, stop. Don't do this. And he's like, you can't do anything. And then he went pew pew. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, continued to try and swing.
Yeah, I will say he was fired for drinking while in uniform, and he also wrongfully beat someone while on the job. That's why this person, John Gorham, was fired. Yep. John Gorham was the one who was killed. Mm-hmm.
By Chief Erickson.
By Chief Erickson, mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was not a great person.
Chief Erickson gave him every out.
Yes, he did.
Every out that we see. And this happened in 1949, so it's the latest death that we hear about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will say the chief did everything he could to prevent this from happening because mm-hmm. he knew this person. Like, this was one of his employees. Mm-hmm. He didn't want, you know, something bad to happen to him, but this guy just wouldn't.
Yep. Wouldn't stop. And then Amy actually channels this guy a little bit because she mm-hmm. feels like she's staggering and mm-hmm. she's moving forward and feels pain in her chest. Well, he was shot in the chest and he continued to move forward to try and swing
a few steps.
Mm hmm. Yep.
Witnesses said. I couldn't think of the word.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those people who saw things.
The seers.
The seers.
With the eyeballs.
Yep.
And they tell about it. And the hands.
In their hands. Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh. I haven't seen that in a long, like, when it first came out, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to watch it. Was it good? Is it scary?
It's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's not, like, bloody scary, though. It's just creepy.
Okay, I can handle creepy.
Oh, yeah, you'd probably like
you're going to have nightmares.
Yeah.
That possibly. Doesn't take much, you guys.
It doesn't take much for me either.
No.
I suck in all that shit and then it just comes out in my dreams all the time.
Oh, see, my brain just goes, well, that was soothing. Let's go to bed.
I can listen to Forensic Files to go to sleep and that doesn't give me bad
dreams. Only in the daytime, though. If I listen to it at night, I get scared.
Oh, I don't.
No, well.
It works for me.
Yep. Well,
one thing I noted is that all the people he talks to in this episode are men.
Yes.
That's true.
We only have one person. Other than Kathleen. Kathleen is the only female. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they don't have a lot of female historians or authors or whatever.
Or just, whoever they were researching, whatever. Yeah. But
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Lastly, we come up against a historian, Kevin Kuchenbecker.
Yeah. Something like that. They never say his name out loud, so I don't know how it's pronounced.
No,
but
that's the best name.
Yes. And Kevin tells us about Wild Bill Hickok mm-hmm. and Jack McCall. So it's really interesting because they gloss over so much in this and they kind of paint the picture a little differently than what actually is supposed to have happened. Mm-hmm. They just kind of give the, like, well, he was shot and killed. So, you know, he's so Wild Bill Hickok was only 39 years old and
so young.
This was in 1877, I believe. And he was from like the Midwest area and then got out to, you know, started going out west. He was a gunfighter. He is known to have killed at least six men, but potentially more than that. There mm-hmm. at least six that were counted.
Did he kill those in like gunfights?
That's what they would mark it as.
Okay.
So they would say there could have been other things that had happened, but they would have marked it as that.
Okay. So he wasn't like a murderer going around killing
Nope. He was usually challenged by somebody because he was known for having a quick draw. So Wild Bill Hickok also wore his guns with the butt forward. So the handle of the gun was forward on his hip. And that is a cross draw. So that means that if he's right-handed, his gun would be on his left hip. So instead of pulling with the butt of the gun facing backwards and pulling straight up, he'd reach across.
Which takes more time.
But if you're fast with it, it is incredible.
Yes.
So he...
It's a risk.
Yeah. So everybody had their own ways. I think his were Colts with ivory handles is typically what he had. Ivory at the time, though, was...
I know.
You know, and so...
But that doesn't mean I have to like it.
We didn't care about killing animals for our benefit back then.
Some people still don't.
I mean, that at the time was just hunting, not poaching. Now it's poaching.
I know.
But he did a lot of he had a vast life that did a lot of different things. He was charged with murder at one point in time. However, that was in the Kansas territories, I believe. But he was not found guilty of that. And actually, the U.S. Marshals recruited him to be a deputy. Wow. I think he was a sheriff in a town. Like, he became known as a lawman. He wore the badge.
Okay.
But he was also a famous gambler. Wild Bill Hickok was very well known for not sitting with his back to the door.
Yeah.
Because of being the type of person he was, he had a reputation.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you had young men who wanted to show their their chutzpah, and they would challenge men like Wild Bill Hickok. But if they knew they weren't faster than them, they would try to get the drop on them. Mm-hmm. And so part of his lore was that he never sat with his back to the door because he didn't want someone to do that to him.
Ambush him.
Which is exactly what happened in his death.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like the gangsters that I studied for my other show.
Yep.
Always sat with their back to the corner of the room. Yes. So nobody can sneak up behind them.
They got that from Wild Bill. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of this was, you know, a lot of what happened in the Old West, and then you had like the James Younger gangs and all of those, they really were the start in the U.S. for the mobs in the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And so Wild Bill had been playing cards the night before. It was August 1st, I believe, was his night. And he was playing cards, and Jack McCall was at his table. Wild Bill cleaned the floor with Jack and actually like tried to get him to leave because he was just getting embarrassed, basically. I guess the next morning, though, Wild Bill Hickok gave him, you know, offered him some money for breakfast because he literally got cleaned out.
Yeah.
McCall was heavily drunk the night before. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, Wild Bill Hickok went back to go play cards the next night, playing 5-card stud. There was only one spot open at the table, and he tried to like pay for someone to move seats, and they wouldn't move seats because depending on where you were, the cards are dealt and that sort of stuff. So they wouldn't trade chairs with him. And McCall came in and cold bloodedly shot him in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. And McCall was arrested. And in the episode, they say he was arrested, then charged and convicted and then hung. However, that's not accurate. He was arrested the first time. He was acquitted originally because he claimed Wild Bill Hickok killed his brother, and so therefore he was avenging his brother's death. Mm. And so there was, when he was tried, he was acquitted from that. But as young men often did, he went around bragging about killing Wild Bill and that he was such this, you know, I bested him and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Wild Bill also had a lot of friends. Yeah. Now, a lot of people think that he and Calamity Jane were lovers at some point in time. They were not. But he had a lot of friends, and this man was arrested again. He was convicted, and he was hung in March of the following year.
Okay. So. Interesting. Okay. It's a lot of history.
Yes. So, sorry. I just find...
It's really interesting.
I find Wild Bill Hickok really fascinating, the whole area. I've been to his grave, where they have the marker and everything.
Yep.
It's just really interesting. He also had noted to some friends that he thought he would die in Deadwood. They don't say if he thought he was going to die this trip, but he just kind of stated... Mm-hmm. Deadwood is the place I'm going to die. And it seems like in a lot of these things that I've seen, is gunslingers like that often had premonitions or feelings of like, well, this is going to be the place. Most of them did not live to be old.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily call it premonitions, but you got to look at the life they led. They led a dangerous life. So is it premonition? Is it like just knowing, hey, I live a dangerous life. I'm probably going to die here.
Yeah, but it was more of like, I think this is going to be kind of my last kind of thing. So, but the infamous hand was the dead man's hand. And that is what Hickok had in his hand, which was aces and eights, a pair of aces and a pair of eights. And it is said, supposedly, that all the cards were black, except for, and then the other card was a queen. Mm-hmm. But nobody knows for sure which cards it was. I've heard that it was not all, but it was aces and eights.
Interesting.
So in poker, that's where the dead man's hand comes from.
Mm. Just a fount of knowledge today. Yeah,
that was really the biggest thing. So I guess this happened in... 1876 is when Hickok died. 1877 is when McCall was hung. Mm-hmm. And then, Megan, you noted, like, they kind of talked about that the hanging went so wrong that the rope was buried with him.
I didn't understand that. They made a point to say it several times about how
it was botched.
They said the reason they knew this, or they hinted at the reason they knew that the hanging was botched, was because McCall was buried with a noose around his neck. Sure
I wonder if it was embedded in his skin.
I think he was buried with it to mark that he was hung.
Okay.
I would think that they actually buried him with that on it, so that if anybody were to dig him up or anything, would be to say that he was a convicted felon, kind of thing.
Yeah. It just was interesting that they seemed to really be saying it so like it was common knowledge, like, oh, he was,
yeah, more than likely. And the what when they say that the hanging was botched is that his neck was not broken right away.
Yeah,
so he strangled that to death rather than having his neck broken.
His neck, the rope was embedded,
it was probably stuck in there.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to point out with the sketch artist, I always love it. It was a lefty.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Uh-huh.
I think I would, being a lefty.
I always notice the lefties. I don't know why, but I just think it's so fun when they're a lefty sketch artist. I don't know. Anything else from the second segment that we want to touch on?
I just loved Amy in the sketch. That color blue looks really pretty on her.
Yes, it does. She's amazing. I love her so much. I know. All right, reveal.
Yes, reveal. You know, we actually have a lot of connections that happen. And really, I don't think, did we have any new information come to light in the reveal that we...
Not that I remember.
Not really, no. No, there was never anything where I was like, wow, I didn't know that. They really did a phenomenal job of connecting what Amy saw with what Steve unearthed.
Yep.
No pun intended.
And we do hear again that every time they try to do, you know, every time they swing a hammer.
Every time he swings a hammer.
Yep.
So we do have Ron, Kathleen, and we did have one other employee that was we talked to, but we did not he didn't have any exciting stories to add to in his section.
I don't even remember him. So that's how
they were all in the reveal. Basically, we hear there's a lot of dead people here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like what you're doing with decor. The restoration and the decor. I was guided by people, but there's also people in the basement and everything that Amy is able to bring everything kind of forward. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, we hear about Wild Bill Hickok and Jack McCall. Jack McCall was supposedly, he was about 25 at the time. Amy did connect with a younger man who did look a lot older. Mm-hmm. She wasn't convinced the picture was him. Again, neither was the historian.
Neither was I.
The historian was like, I don't think that
I don't think there's any good pictures or any pictures of him. Yeah.
And, you know, it's very common, again, to not have pictures from that time because you would have had to sit still for one.
For a very long time. It wasn't like now where you whip out your cell phone and take a picture in 0.5 seconds.
Right. And, you know, like any of the wanted posters and things that would have been out at the time, they were hand-drawn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't, you know.
Yep.
So probably not the picture of actually Jack McCall in there, but we do hear that. And potentially a reason why we see a lot of the dead here is that whole cemetery got moved.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
So he was buried in a Catholic cemetery, but 4 years later, they dug everybody back up and moved them because, so it's a very hilly area. And, you know, you could have erosion that happened. And so therefore, they needed to move
over.
Amy does talk about kind of, you know, she talks about the staggering aspects. We hear about Johnny Gorham and she's like, oh, really? Okay. That makes sense. about all of this. So, you know, it makes sense that he was, you know, walking towards somebody. Cause I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I did note that Ron was not thrilled when she said that the dead weren't fans of the decor.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, because it looks terrible right now.
I picked out that wallpaper.
It was my favorite color. I could get Ron's reaction, like, yeah. especially given how invested he is yeah. in this property, yes. he's probably not just picking out the decor willy-nilly.
No,
right. Like, I would assume he's spending a lot of yeah. time on it.
And this is where we hear that, you know, Activity is constantly scaring off contractors, and Amy's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Is that what's happening? And I think, you know, you kind of nailed it later on, Amy, when she starts talking about the individuals, the elderly woman. I was like, she like the, not necessarily the owner of the brothel, but kind of like the mother of people, you know, the one who watches over the girls and yeah. schedules things. Mm-hmm. And then you said madam. And I was like, yep, that's the word I was thinking of.
Yeah. yeah.
And that would make the most sense of having a yeah. woman of that age
yeah.
in there.
That invested in the property and in what people were doing and as a spirit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think you found her name was Belle Haskell.
Yes, I think it was Belle Haskell. I was looking up Maggie Broadwater, mm-hmm. and at the time that Maggie Broadwater jumped out of that building, Belle Haskell was the madam.
Madam.
And there was another murder too. One of the women killed another one of the women, also named mm-hmm. Maggie. But yeah, I think it was Belle Haskell, which I thought was interesting that they didn't bring her up at all. And yeah. if they did, they cut it out. But she was pretty prominent back then.
And they might have cut it because she wasn't in the house at
yeah.
all.
Yep. Yeah.
Would be my... If
Although
they did
I did think that maybe this was.
Yeah, a madam would have been in the house, though.
But
I mean, as a ghost. That they didn't talk about her.
They did not connect it to anything to her, but yeah. I think yeah. that she was probably
well, they,
there.
Yeah, she they probably was there.
Probably but. Just didn't do any of the... Add the research into it because yeah. why would we research about older women?
The sketch was an interesting sketch because I don't remember if we've ever had a sketch in color before.
Oh this, yeah. Well, it wasn't color, but it was, there was white, white charcoal or whatever.
Yeah, cause I think it's showing, trying to show the darkness.
Yeah.
Of
cause the walls yeah. were like a tan.
Yeah. It's cause it was dirt.
Yeah. But I mean,
well, I guess it was color. I just thought that was the color of the paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I just thought it was interesting because it was not...
It was a cool sketch.
It was a yeah. really very eerie sketch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we hear a little bit about what happened to the women yeah. at that point in time. And we see Kathleen really just kind of... Like,
yeah. Yeah.
She feels an emotional reaction. Yeah. And really because she's kind of like, yeah, I've seen this or I felt this or mm-hmm. something like that. And so she's kind of putting two and two together with that.
You're going to scroll past my joke.
No, go ahead.
Where Steve says, you seem to have run into a lot of dead people here. And I said, I hope she's okay from running into them.
Well, there were a lot of them.
And then I said, I'll see myself out.
Yeah, I do. You also mentioned Ron talks about like how he saw a woman for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
That
for
is a long time.
It takes a lot of energy for ghosts to appear.
I feel like that's a very exaggerated. It was probably yeah. like 20 to 30 yeah. seconds, but it felt like time slowed down yeah. kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that it takes a lot for them to appear. Like a lot of, that's why the room gets cold because they're drawing that energy. And so I don't know.
And then we hear about later on too with Amy, that there's this guy who is trying to teach himself how to like physically harm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he's a post lifelong learner. So he doesn't know how to do it yet, but he's trying to find a way to physically harm.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan, you had a good point too. Like, Ron, isn't this the reason you called?
Yeah. Yeah. Ron's like, it bothers me to hear that someone might want to do harm to somebody or do some mischief here. And I'm like, well, isn't that the whole
isn't that what
purpose why they're here? Yeah. Like, come on, Ron, get it together.
Which also we do know that he holds in at least one other Travel Channel show. Our favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite. She means
yep. disrespectful person yep. of the dead. who likes to scream at them.
Which also makes you wonder how many other, is one of those locations that how many other things were brought in, especially because I don't know the order in which these were filmed, but Amy gives them stuff to help make it an easier place. Like, obviously we've heard from her before that hotels, you can't ever get, like, when they have that much history, you can't really get rid of everything. But if they did this and had Amy in and she provides them solutions and they do the solutions, then they wouldn't be able to have those others come in.
Right. I did kind of get the impression that Ron wanted the publicity. And it was going to help the hotel.
Which,
which I'm sure it did.
It did.
For some time anyway. It's no longer a hotel.
It's closed now.
Yeah, it's the Oyster something house now.
Probably where cops go for lunch.
Probably. Like in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hey.
Hey, boo.
Amy gives them a list of things that they have to do, but it's not a ton.
They didn't need to call anyone in. It was
She said basic things, salt, sage, and holy water. Yeah. Like, you need to get rid of residual energy, so... Ding, ding, we've got residual energy. She wants you to take the salt and water, mix it up in a spray bottle, and spray the floors and walls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Holy water is going to prevent any negative individuals and kind of make this a safe environment. And Steve's like, so they'll start feeling a difference? Like, and she's like, you got to do this for like a year. You got to do this a lot.
But they would start to feel it pretty soon after they started. But yeah, it's not.
You can't stop.
You have to keep doing it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you start to feel better does not mean you save the rest of your Z-Pack for later.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found the ending here with Ron a little interesting because he's like, well, I feel validated and like there's a closure. And Steve says, well, obvious question, are you going to follow what Amy says? He looks to Kathleen and says, and she's like, yeah, I'll help.
Because he says, what do you think? Like, puts it on her.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's your hotel, dude.
She's like, I'll help. And then he goes, okay, there's your answer. I'm like, so she's going to do it all?
She's responsible for everything.
Yeah, so you're going to make her do it?
Yeah.
If she had not said she would help, would you be like, I guess we're not doing it.
Yes, the woman won't do it and I can't do it.
Yep.
I'm a man. I can't do any of that.
So we do know he cleanses a hotel every week, at least at the time of this airing, and the activity has decreased.
That's right.
But now the hotel is closed.
Yeah. I mean, this did come out a long time ago.
Long time ago.
10 years.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I think it was 2014, wasn't it? January 2014?
I don't know. I didn't look at the date that it came out.
Well, I seem to remember because...
January 10th, 2014 was the original air date.
Okay. Yeah, because Jerry died in January of
2015.
Mm-hmm. And I knew I had remembered that it was about a year later.
Yeah.
And which is right about when this is going to be out. It's another.
So
it's
this
right around the same date.
This show came out 11 years ago by the time that this episode is airing that we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a good episode.
It was good. I'm glad we finally did it. I don't know how, I know we mentioned this before, but... Mm-hmm. Amy had suggested this to us back when she was a patron, and I don't know why we didn't do it. I don't know why we didn't do it back
then.
Because
we were saving it for this time, we knew.
Yeah, exactly. That was totally it.
It's usually when people suggest something, we try to do it right away.
Right.
Yeah, this was a fun episode. Thanks for indulging me by letting me talk about Wild Bill as well as the history of the time. If you're interested, I highly recommend just digging into just a little bit of the history. And I know, Amy, you've got a bunch of links that you'll add to the show notes.
I did a little bit of research. It's not like a part of history that I'm super interested in, so I didn't go too deep, but I know it is for you.
The town of Deadwood has a site, and you can, they have a timeline of when things happened, and you can get a lot of information. It's a cool place to visit too. It's not far from a lot of things out in kind of that South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, because it's right next to Wyoming area there.
I've been to the Badlands, but when I was little.
Yep.
I have not.
It's cool. I remember it being cool.
It's a very pretty place.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well, thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. Hi, friends. Do us and yourselves a favor and check out our affiliate, Three Spirit Drinks. They create plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs that are cruelty-free and vegan, and they are designed to give you some of the benefits of alcohol without the hangover and other side effects. If you're looking to cut down on alcohol but still want the buzz, check them out. The link is us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.